Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Today, it's New Year's Eve. There's a whole lot to cover. We're going to be getting into it. And the Blagojevich appointment of Roland Burris, in fact, I want to get into that in some detail as well. Ray Hanania is going to be with us, or is with us right now. And he's a talk show host in Chicago. He's also an award-winning journalist, stand-up comedian, and author, and also a Palestinian-American, defining the moderate Palestinian Arab voice. His website, themediaoasis.com, is Ray's website. And Ray, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom. Good morning. How are you?
Just great. Ray and I had a great conversation yesterday for National Public Radio, and I wanted to continue that conversation today. Ambassador John Bolton is also with us. He is now with the American Enterprise Institute, AEI.org. He's been on this show many times in the past. Ambassador Bolton, welcome back to our program.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. Ray and I yesterday had a rather lengthy discussion about the situation in Gaza and with Israel and all this sort of thing. And I understand that you've been, Ambassador, recently speaking out about this, that perhaps this is an opportunity for the United States or other powers in the region, presumably Israel, to attack Iran. Do I have that right, Ambassador?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite like that. My point has been that because Iran is the paymaster both for Hamas in the Gaza Strip and Hezbollah in Lebanon, that what Israel is facing here really is a multi-front struggle, and that the question of what to do with Iran's nuclear weapons program, in my view, is very closely tied to how you deal with Iran's long-standing, substantial, continuing support for terrorism.
The extent, though, to which Iran is the paymaster for Hezbollah and Hamas, and I don't think either of those things are in broad dispute, they, by and large, are not the paymaster for Fatah, for the old PLO, which has become the moderate Arab voice in the West Bank. Why not, if we want to, you know, cut the ground out from underneath Iran, why don't we become the paymasters, to use your phrase? In other words, the supporters. Why don't we participate with these organizations and try to bring them into the modern world the way that we did with the PLO, Ambassador?
Well, I think we, in effect, are the paymaster for Fatah, which is now in control of the West Bank. It is, in effect, what remains of the Palestinian Authority. And I think as the dominant faction in the PLO for many, many years, Fatah has, in effect, been the beneficiary of a lot of largesse already. But let's not forget, even—
No, I'm agreeing, and I'm saying that that's a strategy that works, sir.
That Hamas did very well on the West Bank, too, in part because many Palestinians see Fatah as fat, old, and corrupt, and that perception has not changed.
Isn't there though the larger issue that Fatah, the old PLO now, is a secular organization, identifies itself as such, and Hamas is a religious organization, identifies itself as such. Ray, I want to bring you in on this conversation. Ray Hanania, as a Palestinian American, your thoughts on this and the conversation, and you know, feel free to address Ambassador Bolton too.
Well, it's an honor to be on with Ambassador Bolton. I don't always agree with him, but obviously I think it's great that he participates in these public discussions. I think it's a huge mistake to respond to Iran with military force. I think that you can't destroy ideologies by attacking it with you know, using a military strategy. I think that's a mistake Israel is making with Hamas. I think that every time Israel attacks Hamas, they actually embolden and strengthen the Hamas ideology, which I disagree with, this perverted interpretation of Islam, that they can somehow use that to create an Islamic State in Palestine, is not something that the majority of Palestinians want. But when you're pushed into a corner filled with so much emotion, so much misery, so much suffering, and no options left to you, the only option you do have is to turn to a Frankenstein monster like Hamas that everybody helped to create, not just the Palestinians, but the Israelis back in the 70s. And, you know, we end up giving that as the only choice to Palestinians. And that is exactly what we're seeing, I think, not just in the Gaza Strip, but in the West Bank and among Palestinians and Arabs across the Middle East.
Ambassador John Bolton?
No, I don't buy the psychological agony argument over all this. The fact is that what we see in Iran's support for Hamas is something that transcends the schism between Sunni Shia philosophies in Islam, and it's very clearly directed at going after the little Satan, as they charmingly refer to Israel in Tehran. And they see the little Satan as a surrogate for the big Satan, which is the United States. So I think these things are related. I think the very fact that there are moderate Palestinians who tried to negotiate with Iran shows that that it's not inevitable that everybody ends up as a terrorist, and I don't think that's a fair characterization of the situation in the region. But I will say this: if you think that people have to live under rocket attack continuously, which is what's been going on in parts of Israel proximate to the Gaza Strip, or that they have to live with the threat of rocket attack from Hezbollah, or the reality of it, or that they have to live with the prospect of a nuclear attack from Iran and not take measures in self-defense, I think that's just unrealistic about the human nature.
But Ambassador Bolton, that's the same.
Go ahead, Ray. I was going to say, but I also think at the same time, it's one side of the argument to say that it's wrong for Israelis to have to live under the threat of rocket attack, and I certainly agree with that, but it's just as wrong to sit there and expect that the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have to live in not an occupation, you know, where soldiers are actually in their country, but in a prison that is walled in, where they can't get food, they can't get
gas. Wait a minute, really. I mean, look, the Gaza Strip
is turned off day and night. And
Gaza Strip has a coast and three sides, correct? Who's on the west side of the Gaza Strip?
Egypt. The Egyptians.
An Arab country. Right. That's right, an Arab country. Now, what have we seen in the past couple of weeks? What have the Egyptians done? They have closed their side of the border and won't let the Palestinians out. If the other Arab countries that profess to be concerned about the Palestinians really cared for the average resident of the Gaza Strip, they would be providing humanitarian aid through Egypt, indeed even having Egypt assume sovereignty over the Gaza Strip to get past this problem. But that's not what they're doing, because in part – they don't want the threat of Hamas radicalism funded by Iran getting into their bloodstreams either.
Well, Egypt has a long history. Go ahead, Ray.
I'm sorry, Tom. If the Israelis wanted to take Hamas out, there are other ways to do it than in a massive bombing strike against it that really impacts an entire population. I think that's what is really undermining the Israeli policy. As a Palestinian,
I just don't buy that. I mean, really, I thought I was on to answer questions, not have a debate, but I will say this because I have to go here fairly quickly. The attacks that the Israelis have been carrying out have been against the Hamas security forces. They have been against the very people who are terrorizing Israel and acting as the agents of the authoritarian Hamas leadership. So the idea that somehow the innocent civilians in the Gaza Strip are the subject of this military attack is simply false.
Okay. Just, Ambassador Bolton, we have just 1 minute left in this segment, and I thank you for being with us today. At what point do you think, or do you think it's even possible that we might start saying, you know, there are more effective ways to influence the world than with threats and weaponry?
Well, as soon as Hamas and Hezbollah stop resorting to terrorism, then I think you can talk about that as an outcome. But I think what Israel is doing here in exercising its legitimate right of self-defense is entirely consistent with international law and morality. And those who object to it should not focus their attention on people defending innocent civilians from terrorist attacks, but should focus on the people who are carrying out the terrorist attacks in the first place.
But isn't the essence of asymmetrical warfare, terrorism, that there's not an equality of forces?
And it has been the consistent policy of American governments, Democratic and Republican, to condemn terrorism. So if you're not willing to do that, if you're prepared to justify terrorism, you're certainly free to make that argument. But that is a radical minority view in this country.
Well, I'd say if that was the case, Menachem Begin, never would have helped bring about the State of Israel. It's blowing up the King David Hotel. But we're wandering afield. Ambassador John Bolton, thanks for being with us today, sir. It's 16 minutes, and Ray, stick around. 16 minutes past the hour on the Tom Hartman program on Air America.
This is the Tom Hartman program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hey, what if I told you that ultimately a large majority of American men will face prostate health-related issues? Would that make you think twice about how you can avoid becoming part of that statistic? This is a hint, guys. If you're not thinking about these kind of things, you should be. Every single man will have prostate problems if they live long enough. When you have an unhealthy prostate, you're making frequent nightly bathroom trips, you have difficulty going, and even sexual dysfunction. This is your body's way of telling you something's not right. You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to provide you with all natural prostate support. I reached out to the manufacturer, and they'll be extending a special offer. Buy two bottles of Beta Prostate and get one free. You'll also get a free book written by the formulator of Beta Prostate, Roger Mason. And best of all, it's risk-free, so your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call today, 1-800-954-0803. 1-800-954-0803. That's Beta Prostate, available at 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth? It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ. 620KPOJ.com.
What if I said you could erase your wrinkles, tighten your skin, and make frown lines disappear from view? All without surgery or injections. With all the creams you've tried, you're probably skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a free trial of a scientific breakthrough called Hydroxytone. Shed years from your appearance faster than you ever thought possible.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, 10 years at least?
Request your risk-free trial of this proven breakthrough today. The results are so impressive, Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-933-9722. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-933-9722. 1-800-933-9722.
A sore throat can ruin a family outing, but my kids know I have the touch that can make it better. It's called the Chloraseptic Touch.
Now moms have new Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges with the Liquid Medicine Center. You get the strongest medicine available without a prescription for fast relief that starts the moment Chloraseptic Max touches your throat. Plus, it coats to protect.
When they feel better, we all enjoy ourselves.
New Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Liquid Lozenges. One touch relief. The Chloraseptic Touch. Use as directed.
How to prevent a sweater avalanche. Step 1. Barricade your closet door and head directly to the Home Depot. Step 2. Stock up on storage totes, shelving, and more. Step 3. Show your closet and your wallet who's boss.
The Home Depot has the lowest prices on hundreds of storage solutions. Get two 18-gallon bins for $6.88 and clear shoebox totes for only 99 cents each. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only while supplies last.
Help me pray. Art Mart.
This week, enjoy Art Smart products your family will eat up. One serving of Van Gogurt contains the live and active culture your kids need. Buy one, get higher test scores free. And nothing satisfies a child's craving for self-expression like Tchaikovsky's Nutcrackers, now with more music and dance in every bite. Try original flavor or new Sugar Plum Fairy. Feed your kids the arts. Visit AmericansForTheArts.org to learn how. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ed Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Now's the time for us to say, Happy New Year.
Tom Hartman here, back with you, 866-303-2270, our telephone number, tomhartman.com, for our free live video, our free live chat room, our free live video stream over at airamerica.com, our program brought to you in part by the Teamsters, proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act. Go to teamster.org for more information. Ray Hanania is with us. He is the award-winning journalist, stand-up comedian, author, and talk show host. And themediaoasis.com, the website. Ray, I probably owe you and Ambassador Bolton an apology. We had reached out to his office several hours ago, 4 or 5 hours ago, asking if he could be on the show. He personally called Sean, my producer, 2 minutes before we went on the air and said, yes, I'm here and I'm available. And you were already on, you know, we'd already booked you. And so I just said, let's put them on together and see what happens. I was not trying to set up a debate, as Ambassador Bolton apparently thought.
I think you achieved something that we should have more of. I've never heard of Ambassador Bolton appearing with a Palestinian journalist. And I think you need to do more of that. I think that what we've missed in the past, you know, are bringing these different ideological views together so we can actually look at and find ways to resolve, you know, some of these conflicts. So it was interesting, and of course, I was on my best behavior.
Well, I thought you did very well, Ray, and Ambassador Bolton always represents himself well, as much as we...
He's good.
We absolutely disagree with his... I absolutely disagree with his worldview, and I think that it is fading quickly from the American consensus, but... you know, there is a constituency for it out there, and the American Enterprise Institute is his new home, AEI.org. Ray, for our listeners who are not familiar with you, this is the first time I think you've been on our show, although your name is so familiar to me and your work, you and a Jewish guy doing a stand-up comedy routine. I mean, I've either seen it, read about it, heard it, but give me and our listeners just a thumbnail of Ray Hanania.
Well, I got into journalism in 1976, right after the Vietnam War, because while I was in military service, I was watching a program where an Arab and Israeli were debating the 1973 war, and I recognized right away that the Arabs just really lacked a fundamental basis of how to communicate properly. And I gave up medicine, which is what all my uncles, cousins, relatives are. They're all doctors. They're all engineers. And I went into the poverty-stricken profession of journalism. And I've been a journalist since 1976. I covered City Hall in Chicago 18 years. I've won a number of awards. But I'm also one of the few Palestinian Americans in professional journalism in the United States. And that has caused me both advancement in my career, but it's also caused me a lot of grief because as soon as you're identified as an Arab American or a Palestinian, people think somehow you're anti-American, you're not a real journalist. So I've had a challenge all my life trying to show people that there is a middle ground to some of these conflicts that we address every day. And I've spent most of my life in journalism, but finally, because this is a long, difficult story, after September 11th, a lot of my career efforts came to an end because people just felt they couldn't work with me because somehow I, being Arab, must have been related to September 11th. I lost a job, and now I've been freelancing, and I'm doing pretty well thanks to the Internet, including doing stand-up comedy, which is what I believe is part of communications.
Yeah, well said and well done, Ray. And this concept of a middle ground. I've spent an awful lot of my life, a lot of time over the last 30 years in Israel. I've also spent a fair amount of that time on the West Bank, back when it used to be that you could literally, and I used to take people on tours like this. You know, you'd drive up to the Sea of Galilee and go down to Nazareth and go down through Nablus back to Jerusalem and then go south down to Jericho and then go over to the coast and to Tel Aviv and then go all the way up to Carmel. You know, I mean, I can give guided tours of that country, both the West Bank and the metropolitan areas, and or of those countries now, I guess we should say. And and it has always struck me that there must be some kind of a middle way, and it's increasingly becoming evident to me that neither of the parties, neither Israel nor the Palestinians, particularly Hamas, you know, maybe Fatah, is the exception to this, are going to be able to reconcile themselves. It's going to take an outside party to bring these groups together. And Jimmy Carter, in the work that he did, you know, it got basically blown up when Reagan came into office, and Arafat said, you know, to the agreements, well, let me check this out with the other Arab leaders, and then Reagan kind of dropped the ball, and that thing just died, at least as Zbigniew Brzezinski describes it. And I'm curious your thoughts on where this can or should go forward.
Well, I think you touched on a fundamental, very important two very important points. One is the middle ground. The problem with the middle ground in the Middle East, especially when involving the Middle East conflict, is people have to want to be there. Not everybody wants to go to the middle ground, because the truth is that sometimes you feel you have an advantage beating somebody. Sometimes you feel you have an advantage in extremism. Emotion plays a large part of that.
Ray, can you stick around for a minute? We've got to take a break here at the bottom of the hour.
Yes, absolutely.
You know all about radio and radio's doing it yourself. Ray Hanania is with us. We'll be right back. Tom Hartman here with you, 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Happy New Year, everybody. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Ray Hanania with us. His website is themediaoasis.com. Great website, by the way, Ray.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
I just wanted to, you know, real quickly share a couple of experiences with you and get your take on them and see where, you know, what the next step on this would be. Back in 82, I was working for an international relief organization. I've done volunteer work for them for over 30 years now. It's called the Salem International. SalemInternational.org is the website. It's based out of Germany. And Herr Mueller, the founder of the organization, called me in the fall of 82, in September of 82, and said, the Israelis just bombed the Sabra and Shatila refugee camps, and we've got thousands of pounds of medicine that have been donated by pharmaceutical companies in Germany, and we need somebody who speaks English and German who's familiar with the region, who can take this stuff into Beirut. And one of our guys, one of our local German guys, Heinrich Strubik, is here, and he's willing to go, but we need a second. Can you go? And I said, sure, I'll, you know, hop on a plane tomorrow morning, and I'll be in Frankfurt, and we'll be in Beirut in 2 days. And I hung up the phone and turned to my wife and said, I'm going to Beirut tomorrow. And as I've done many times, not to Beirut, but, you know, I was in Uganda during the middle of the war. I was in Medellin, Colombia, when people were being blown up. And I mean, that's what you do when you work with a refugee organization.
Yeah.
And Louise said, no, you're not going. I've got a really bad feeling about this. It's the only time in 30 years she's ever said that. So I called back Herr Mueller and I said, I'm sorry, you know, Louise doesn't want me to go. And he said, well, by coincidence, Thomas Kempfer, who I know these guys, they're friends of mine. They're both Germans who work with this organization. Thomas just walked into the office and he said that he's willing to go and he speaks English. And I was like, great. Well, 3 days later, or actually it was about 5 days later, we heard on the news that two Germans had been taken hostage. It was Heinrich Strubik and Thomas Kempfer, and they were the last two Western hostages released from Lebanon 5 years later. And one of them would have been me. So, I was watching that. And then in 2000, I was invited to speak at Hebrew University in Jerusalem and at a conference on psychiatry. And Louise and I, for a book, because of a book I wrote on the topic, and Louise and I flew over there. And you know, I just love driving around the country. And we took that ride down from Nazareth back down to Jerusalem, drove through Nablus, and some kids came out and threw stones at our car. And this was late September, as I recall, 2000. And
listen, I can promise you, if you drove through the southwest side of Chicago, kids might come up and throw stones at your car, too.
Well, you know, what was so weird was we got back to the hotel, and like 2 days later, my parents called. My dad called, and he said, he knew where we were, and he said, I think it was the cover of Time magazine, he said that there are kids throwing stones at cars in Nablus, and it started the Second Intifada. And it's like, I have this terrible knack of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But bottom line here,
I think it's done a lot to help people understand, because I've listened to your show a lot and I really do enjoy it, by the way. And I'm really honored to be on it. I mean, for me, it's tremendous.
Well, so the point I was making is that my perspective has been as an outsider. I'm neither Jewish nor Palestinian nor Muslim. You know, I've worked in these both of these worlds to some extent. And I'm curious what your take is as an American and as a Palestinian ancestry, what your take is on what is going on and where it can go and how Americans can help, how we can facilitate some sort of a healing process in that region.
Well, I think you're the answer, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. You actually understand what's going on. You've seen both sides. I think that is so important when I hear an American say that. I've seen both sides. You cannot look at both sides and stand on one end or the other and denounce the other side. When you've seen both sides, it's easy for you to stand in the middle and say there has to be a better way to resolve this conflict. And part of the problem is that, and I don't want to bash the mainstream media, but I do think that it's partly their fault, but I also blame the Arab world. We have never told our story properly. Whenever we want to tell our story, we turn to rhetoric, we turn to emotion. We've never helped Americans understand who Palestinians and people in the Middle East really are. We're two different cultures. You cannot bring democracy to the Middle East the way we define it and expect it to work. That's why I was against what we did in Iraq. Most Palestinians don't support Hamas, but we do recognize that the continued conflict only strengthens Hamas. So the answer, I think, is one, we need to really understand the fundamentals, and that may take too long, but the one thing we really have to do is step back, do what parents do when they have two kids who have gone crazy and one of them is beating the heck out of the other. Because I'll tell you what, in the Middle East, Arabs and Jews are related. We're like family, and we are two children who are beating each other up, and we don't have a very strong father to step in and tell us to stop. And I think the only answer that I can see, impose a settlement that is fair. Impose it. Get us away from the argument. Stop this day-to-day debate that changes. We don't even know what started the conflict. These things just continue. So I think we just need to step in, and I think and I hope that's what Barack Obama is going to do. He's going to define the vision for a solution. He's going to push, bring the people to the end result. Don't try to walk them through a complicated negotiation and expect everybody to be happy. Bring them to the end and say, look, two states. We're going to share the land, end of story.
Yeah.
And you are both going to fight extremists on both sides, not just Hamas, but the settlers who keep taking land.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's when it starts getting really complex, because the Israel has been chewing away at this land on the West Bank for a long time. And you know, I said on the air a couple of days ago, we have some friends who are among those settlers. They live in a community that's close into Jerusalem, and arguably they're not – you know, they're not on land that's contested. But, you know, I understand the the mindset. I don't agree with it, but I understand the mindset of the people who are the Israelis who are saying, you know, this is our land. I understand the mindset of the Palestinians who are saying, hey, wait a minute, that was my olive grove that you just bulldozed to turn into a community. And I see a Middle East that's very different than the first time I went there in the 70s when you could drive anywhere in the country and do anything. I mean, we used to take day trips down to Jericho to have tea, because, you know, when the lilacs were in blossom, because the whole city smelled so beautiful, you know, and it's just, and there's a wonderful, you know, outdoor restaurants. And how do we get back to that?
Well, I think it's, we have to stop being extremist. We have, for example, I think the Palestinians, when an Israeli is killed, we need to stand up and denounce it. We can't just say, oh, that's them, good for them. We can't do that. I have to take care of my house. I have to tell Palestinians that it's about principle and morality. We cannot kill Israeli civilians. And at the same time, I think Israelis need to look at, you know, especially this conflict in Gaza. You know, Ambassador Bolton really kind of brushed over this, but out of the 360 people that have been killed, some 60 of them have been civilians, and a lot of them are kids. I think Israel has a higher burden. It may be unfair, but they have a higher burden than a group that's alleged to be a terrorist organization. They're a government. When they go in to respond to Hamas and they know they're civilians, they should not bomb those targets. It's just wrong. And I think Israelis, if we get away from the fight, many Israelis would agree with that. And I will add this. I have no problem. I understand the settler mentality. I understand, and I'm willing to live with them and recognize that they want to live in the West Bank and their settlements. I'm not worried about that. But let's do it in a fair way. Don't just take somebody's land and say you have no rights. It isn't just I own 8 acres of land next to Gilo that isn't occupied, but I can't even get there.
Gilo, and where
is it? Anything. If Israel would say, hey, Ray Hanani is a Palestinian, he has rights, we'll stand up for him. We need to start helping each other instead of helping ourselves.
Right. Is Gilo in Israel or Palestine or however?
It's in the West Bank on the Israeli side of the wall, in that area around Jerusalem that was annexed after the 67 war.
Mm.
And Gilo started out as a settlement, which today is one of the most beautiful cities in the West Bank, which is now part of Israel. It's
right.
Very complicated, but you know, the land, they should stand up for my rights. And I'll tell you, if they did that, it would change things. And we should stand up for their rights.
Yeah.
That's what the middle ground is about, and that's hard to do.
And this is one of the big debates that's going on in Israel right now. I don't think most Americans realize that there are Palestinian members of the Knesset. You know, there are
absolutely. We had one in Chicago. Nadia Hillu, who is a member of the Labor Party, who is in the Knesset now. She was not able to win a spot in the list for this election coming up in February. She's a Christian Arab woman, Palestinian, and many Arabs would not support her because she was working in the system. We organized a comedy show and a fundraiser for her, and more Arabs boycotted that show in Chicago than Jews boycotted it. The fact was that we do have problems in our own community. I have extremists that don't want me to compromise, that don't, because they know this conflict, if it continues, Hamas is going to win in the long run. They have not weakened over the last 20 years. They have increased in strength. And I think Israelis and Jews need to look at that and say, you know what? Conflict is feeding Hamas.
And secular Palestinians need to be looking at that, too.
Absolutely. In fact, we are, and it's very frightening. You know, the West Bank has a large group of Palestinians who do not support Hamas, but we don't have strong enough authority. We don't have the strength to overcome what Hamas is preaching.
It needs to come along. Ray, can you stick around? We'll take a break. We'll take some phone calls, you and I.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks,
Ray Hanania is with us. His website, themediaoasis.com.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Do you have tax problems? Here's the solution, Taxmasters. It's that simple. Taxmasters will help solve your tax problems. Do you owe back taxes? Are you being audited? Have several years of unfiled returns? Is the IRS calling or sending threatening letters? Whatever your tax-related problem, the former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters can help today. Call 1-877-202-7222. That's 1-877-202-7222. Or go to TXMSTR.com. Again, that's TXMSTR.com for more information. Taxmasters will get between you and the IRS. They'll make sure they treat you fairly and treat you with respect. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. The folks at Taxmasters have helped many good people just like you. Call Taxmasters right now, 1-877-202-7222. That's 1-877-202-7222. Or go to TXMSTR.com. Taxmasters will help solve your tax problems.
Have you noticed that the Saturday program lineup has changed at AM 620 KPOJ?
Yeah, it's exciting.
Now you can wake up with Bill Press at 6 and Stephanie Miller at 9.
From noon to 3, it's Ring of Fire.
Followed by 7 Days in America. At 4, it's the Peter B. Collins Show.
From 7 to 10, it's the one and only Lionel.
And rounding out the day is an encore performance of Ed Schultz.
Let's spend Saturdays together.
Yay! Online at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
I'm here to tell you that Geico.com is easy to use. I bet you already knew that. A website that's convenient and fast. Well, really, had no idea. Of course it's fast and easy. Now, allow me to go off script and tell you why Geico.com is so great. First, you can get a free rate quote right then and there. You can update your policy, make a payment, even report and track a claim. There's the news. There's the big aha. Sorry, just had to get it off my chest.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state. Why spend more than you have to on your life insurance? Did you know that term life insurance rates have fallen over 60% in the last 10 years? I'm Byron Udell, founder of AccuQuote. At AccuQuote.com, we monitor the rates, features, and financial strength of hundreds of life insurance products. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can protect his family with $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $19 a month. Female rates are even lower. And don't forget to ask us about the new term life policies that guarantee your money back even if you don't die. Since 1986, we've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you save a fortune on their life insurance. Why not find out how much you can save? Write down this number and call today for your free quote. Call 800-500-2171. One five-minute call is all it takes. 800-500-2171. That's 800-500-2171.
Boy, am I glad to be done with my Christmas shopping.
I know.
And now I just want to relax.
Me too. Except there's one more store we should check out.
No way!
Because this weekend we can get a Sony, Samsung, or Panasonic TV at an incredible price.
Really? Where?
At Video Only's After Christmas Clearance Sale. They're really cutting deals.
Because of the economy?
Yep. So this is our chance to get what we wanted for Christmas.
Are the prices really that good?
For 3 days they are. And Video Only has the top-rated models we were thinking about.
All right. The best stuff cheap is worth the trip.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or computers, but you will find the best deals on HD TVs, Blu-rays, cameras, camcorders, and home theater systems. Shop around. Just make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
In Jansen Beach, Clackamas, Beaverton, and Salem, Video Only.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yeah, it's a cliche, but kitties singing Auld Lang Syne. Louise was previewing this for me last night in our living room, and Higgins sat right up on the couch, put his ears up, and then put his ears back. They're apparently actual cat noises. Ray Hanania is with us, the Palestinian-American journalist, comedian, and talk show host, and his website, themediaoasis.com. Is there another website, by the way, Ray, that you want me to mention?
It all links from there. There's a comedy website, the Israeli-Palestinian Comedy Tour, and the radio show. And, again, it's just an honor to be on your show because I think you do help bring all the sides together. Maybe people can really start to understand what the middle ground is all about, and they won't be so afraid to get into the middle ground. You don't compromise your principles when you get into the middle and say, let's be fair to both sides. You can still believe in what you believe.
Ray, let's take a few phone calls here in the last segment.
Perfect.
Just very quickly, by the way, Roland Burris, you're from Illinois.
Yeah.
seems to me like the governor has the authority to appoint this guy and that Harry Reid should just back down and say, okay, you know, we'll put him in.
No, so he did just back down. No, he didn't.
I'm saying he should.
Oh, he should. No, I agree with you. I'll be honest with you. Here's the problem I have with this whole thing. And Blagojevich, Illinois didn't become a circus when Blagojevich became governor. Believe me, we've been a black spot in the country for years with the Chicago Democratic machine. But I think that Blagojevich, is the governor of Illinois, is innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
And until they prove that he did something wrong, I think he has all the powers and he has the right to do that. But he doesn't have much sympathy in the public anymore.
Yeah, bingo. I absolutely agree. But let's get back to this situation. Rick in Florida, hey, listening on WNWF. Hey, Rick, what's up?
Hey, not much, thanks. And Happy New Year coming up here.
Thank you.
I agree with your your guest there about the common ground deal. But from my point of view, and I'm a Gentile and no ties to the Jewish community or Israel, whatever, I respect Israel quite a bit. And I think they show some restraint. Now, right now, that's not popular, but I don't care. They're responding to what's been thrown at them. And I think they're just hoping to stir up some more sentiment worldwide, which unbelievably we're seeing. And I think if the Palestinians would tone it down, they would do much better. I mean, what Arab world has an Israeli in their Congress? But Israel has one in the Knesset.
But Rick, you just said that you think that Israel is doing this because they want to get sympathy worldwide. They're getting the opposite.
No, they're not. The Palestinians, I think, are just trying to stir up some more sympathy. And
so you think the Palestinians provoked this response? The response is appropriate. Ray, your take, your response?
I think Hamas is doing this because in their strategic interest, and I believe that Hamas is not the moderate voice. I think they're an extremist religious group, and they shouldn't be representing the Palestinians. But I think they're doing this because they recognize, as all extremists do, conflict is good for them long term.
Yeah.
Peace, they don't want to compromise because when they compromise, they have to give up on their religious beliefs, and you cannot compromise on faith. That's why I supported Yasser Arafat. I worked with him for years. I worked with him during the peace process with President Clinton. I was part of their meetings. I went to 10 or 15 meetings, and I'll tell you something. As much as people didn't like Yasser Arafat, he was a secular leader, and secular leaders had a, quote, price. He was willing to compromise if the Israelis would have gone a little bit further. They didn't, and Hamas spent its entire existence torpedoing the peace process.
Right.
So I don't blame the Palestinians for Hamas. Blame Hamas. Let's not blame all people. I don't blame all the Israelis for the response to Hamas.
Right, sort of like blaming all Americans for George Bush.
Absolutely.
Okay, well said. And Ray, I didn't realize you were so involved in the peace process. Good on you for that. William in Los Angeles, listening on K-Talk. Hey, William.
Hey, guys. First of all, Ray, it is a bit contentious for you to say that there's no Arabs representing their side in a calm way. I'll just point out 90.7 in Los Angeles, 8 o'clock on Wednesdays, Middle East in Focus. Tune into that station. It's a
very familiar with it, actually. I'm very familiar with that program. I'm very familiar with that program.
Okay, so then there's an example of a person from the Arab world in a very rational way, without rhetoric, explaining their side of it. I will also say...
Very few is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll also say that you talk about a middle ground. I'm wondering how you do that in the midst of a military occupation, and one that's so brutal that, I mean, in the West Bank, in the Gaza Strip, the Israelis are pumping their sewage into that territory to make it more miserable. You heard about the situation in Hebron where the Israelis who live up the hill are dumping their sewage down on children and families. It's an unspeakable crime of this occupation, and to look for a middle ground in that is explain to me how you're going to do that. And I'll just look
I'll be happy to. I'll absolutely be happy to do it. The way to do it is not to look for the things that we don't like and then start at that point. If the Israelis are doing something like dumping sewage or whatever they're doing, I don't think the answer is to begin at that point and say the conflict starts there. I think you got to step back and you have to say, you know what? The bigger issue is that there are things being done on both sides. And we need to find a resolution not to these little individual incidents, which are horrible on both sides. We have to find the answer to the bigger conflict. We have to get the Israelis to not want to do that. We have to get the Palestinians to not want to do that. That's what we have to do, and that's hard to do. But I hear Palestinians and supporters of the Palestinians say, look, they're killing us. We have no choice but to fire rockets. Yes, you do have a choice. That choice is not to use violence in response to violence. Violence is not the answer, and violence will not get us our Palestinian state. That is what 60 years of history has shown me and most Palestinians.
Yeah, very, very well said. And Ray, we've only got 20 seconds left here in the hour, so I would not have time to take another call. But I just want to honor you and congratulate you for the work that you're doing, and say keep it up. And thanks for being with us on the show today.
It's my honor again. I appreciate it. Thank you, Tom, and I look forward to you being on my show next week sometime.
I look forward to it too, Ray. Ray Hanania, themediaoasis.com, the website. Thanks, Ray.
You're welcome.
Have a great and a happy new year to you and your family, by the way.
You and everybody in your listening audience. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Coming up next, Gerald Celente, the Trends Research Journal. Is a depression coming?
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you on New Year's Eve. And it being the end of the old year and the beginning of the new, I thought, what better person to have on than Gerald Celente, the Trends Research Institute Director, publisher of the Trends Journal, trendsresearch.com, the website. They have a eerily accurate track record in predicting trends of the future. In fact, in 2007, hey, Gerald, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom, Happy New Year. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to you, too, and welcome back. In 2007, you actually went out on the web and nailed down the website, panicof2009.com, or words to that effect, back before anybody was talking, or 2008.com, rather, before anybody was talking about a stock panic in 2008.
Yeah, we actually did it on November 7th of 2007.
2007.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, looking through the current issue, the winter issue of the Trends Journal, there's, you know, a couple things that really jumped out at me. One in particular, as you're talking about, you know, what we're going to see in the next year, suspicions of the soundness of the banking system. You bank at KeyBank, and you went to them and said that you wanted to withdraw basically all the cash in your checking account, which I'm assuming was more than the either $5,000 or $10,000 threshold that triggers the federal government looking into what you're up to, and that the bank – well, you tell the story.
Well, you know, they gave me the runaround. The day before I was going to take it out, I called my regional manager up, and I told him I wanted it out, and I wanted it in hundreds. And he called me back with inside of 5 minutes, and he said, well, we can't get hundreds. And, you know, me being me, I said, you know, don't give me that baloney. This is KeyBank. What do you have, $100 billion? You're telling me you have a backing your system and you can't come up with hundreds?
Yeah.
You know, well, rustle them up. So the next day I go to the bank manager up where I am, And I
had been notified in advance you're coming.
Oh, yeah, the day before.
Yeah.
You know, to prepare for this.
Yeah.
And she said to me, well, you know, we're not ready. Could you come back in 2 hours? And I said, fine. I said, I want to make this clear. I want this money in hundreds, and I want it today. And I said, it's nothing to do with personalities here. This is just business. Right. Those were my words. And I come back 2 hours later, and they put me through this whole rigmarole. I have to – now they're asking me, you know, where do I live? Where do I work? What's my occupation? On and on and on. Mm-hmm. And then they give me this form to fill out. This is KeyBank Securities form. The last question of this, so help me God, is that – you will be in possession of a large sum of money, and you can be you can be prey for a robber. Words of that type.
So you're acknowledging your own liability.
Yeah, that I could be robbed, and if I'm robbed, you know they usually don't find the robber, and I'll lose the money, and KeyBank won't be responsible, and I should think again about keeping it there. Yeah, I said, what am I, 2 years old? You're telling me this stuff, and I have to sign this thing. After I sign this, then they come back to me and say, we need your driver's license. Now, all this stuff is on their records, and this is around the corner from my business. I'm there a couple of times a week. So I went back and I got one of my colleagues. I said, you better come back with me. I said, because there's going to be trouble over here, and I want a witness. So I wanted a witness to see all this happen. Well, I bring him back with me, and more questions. This is going on now for 20 minutes or more. Finally, this woman puts up a bag of cash on the counter. She slams it down and said, here's your X amount of thousands of dollars, so that the whole bank heard it. And I look at this bag, and it's filled mostly with 20s.
KeyBank's revenge.
Yeah.
How dare you ask for cash?
How dare you ask for cash? I only keep operating expenses in the banks.
Right.
Because one of the trends we're looking at in 2009, as you mentioned, we took out the domain name, the panic of 08 last year. Well, we took out the domain name, the collapse of 09. The system is collapsing. It will not be saved by printing more money or lowering interest rates to minus zero, if there's such a thing. So what we're saying is that you just saw the retail sector, the holiday season, go bust. Depressionary downs. You're looking at women's apparel off 23%. You're looking at, you know, home electronics down 27%. Luxury items, that's a big one. That's a harbinger. Down 35%, because this thing is hitting people from the top down. It's not these people are worth $50, $100 million. It's not like they had them in, you know, big ones in a vault someplace in Switzerland. They had them invested with the Lehman Boys, the Merrill Lynch mob. They
and
had
Bernie Madoff. Madoff. Yeah. So the upshot is that, well, and in fact, I noticed that the Dow is down 36% for the year. The Dow in 1931 dropped 40%, 40.6%.
And the Dow was down as much as 50% back to only as November, November
right.
20th. So the point that we're saying, Tom, is that the retail sector, what you're going to start seeing is more and more store closings, loads right. of them, thousands.
Now, there's a silver lining to this, Gerald. This is a great time for people like you and me who have a long history of entrepreneurial activity. There's going to be a lot of really cheap commercial real estate out there, and if you've got a good idea for a local business that can capture a local market, this is a time of opportunity.
This is a time not for the real estate, but for the local market. You hit it. For example, Starbucks closing stores. It has more to do with predatory practices of driving out the competition than consumer demand. Yeah, consumers can't afford $4 coffee, but they are going to still go and buy coffee, but they're going to go to places with unique character and unique characters, and maybe the place for the greatest crumb bun, the best piece of apple pie. People will go distances for the best of the best. The bigs are falling. It's a time for the smalls to fill the gaps. But it has to be done with an entrepreneurial spirit and a quality. Quality is key in the greatest depression.
Right. So much like, you know, when Reagan intentionally stopped enforcing the Sherman Antitrust Act, which had been on the books since 1881, and that led to the M&A fever, the mergers and acquisition fever of the 80s, with the rise of Michael Milken's and these huge empires and the media empires and all these other empires, and basically enormous consolidation. Prior to 1980, you could drop out of an airplane at 70,000 feet and land in any kind of random spot in the United States, look around at the strip malls, and within a few minutes figure out where you were, because most of the businesses were local. Post 1990, you know, just 10 years later, you could do that same thing, and every strip mall you dropped into, whether it was in California, Tennessee, or New York, you know, no matter where it was, you would see the exact same stores because of this enormous consolidation. Even though it's not being politically unwound, it's now being economically unwound because we failed to do it the right way, so the market is doing it for us.
Well, yeah, what's bad for Wall Street is great for Main Street.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're the ones that gave the money to these giants to be developing. And also, and then the politicians, they're the ones that give them all of these tax breaks, loan guarantees, build their infrastructure for them with our money.
Right.
And they've driven Main Street out of business. Main Street's going to make a comeback. This is going to be a time, as I said, it's going to be painful for a lot of people. But what we do, the purpose of our work is to identify the trends so that people could take proactive measures, not to frighten them, but
yeah,
to let them know that, look, trouble's ahead, the ship is sinking, here are some lifeboat strategies. And the other areas, by the way, if your kid's going to school, this isn't to college, and they're going for degrees in business administration, marketing, humanities, sociology, psychology, art history, think about saving your money. This isn't the time to do that. They're not going to get jobs in those fields upon graduation. If they have a real keen interest in business, let them go for an apprenticeship. Not the Donald Trump kind of garbage,
right,
but real apprenticeships.
Yeah.
And in all of those fields.
Yeah, and medicine and tech,
exactly,
and engineering.
Exactly, the hard sciences.
Yeah.
And by the way,
Gerald, we just have 30 seconds left. Busch Gardens, you're saying, and the great college crash, I guess you just covered, but you're saying people are going to be planting victory gardens, as it were.
Yes,
we're
going to call them Busch Gardens because people are going to say, how did they get their names? And they say, this guy destroyed the economy,
right,
and we had to survive, so that's why we had to eat. And no, the edible landscaping, it's going to be a big trend. People are going to be slimming down economically and health-wise as well. To stay healthy in the coming times, emotional, spiritual, physical health.
There you go. Gerald Celente, the director of the Trends Research Institute, trendsresearch.com, the New Trends Journal, the top trends of 2009. You can check it out. You can subscribe at their website, trendsresearch.com. Gerald, thanks for dropping by today.
Hey, thank you, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to you, too. Always good talking with you. 16 minutes past the hour, 866-303-2270. Your call's up next.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If you're tired of credit card debt with high rates and fees, if you're in over your head dealing with high monthly payments, there's powerful information that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with low monthly payments you can afford. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-1983. You don't have to declare bankruptcy. Credit Answers represents the highest standards in the industry. We've already helped thousands of people like you save millions of dollars. Just give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help you live better, debt-free. Call for this valuable free information at 1-800-600-1983. That's 1-800-600-1983. 1-800-600-1983.
Are you waking up with Carl Wolfson and friends?
These are less popular suggestions. Abraham Lincoln.
6 to 9.
The Obama's first dog. What name it could be?
Promise. Because he promised the girls and he promised us.
Elephant eater.
How about lipstick?
How about rogue?
You've got to have southpaw. I'd like to give it a local name and name it Mutt Safino, the weather dog.
It's Carl Wolfson.
As Abraham Lincoln said.
Morning 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Men, listen carefully.
If you suffer from any type of erectile dysfunction, Oregon Male Performance Clinic can help you now, regardless of your age or medical history. If you want to perform for 45 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes, or longer, call 503-443-1000 in Portland. There's no pain or surgery, just the newest available safe and effective medications given to you by one of our licensed Oregon physicians. Our doctors are so sure you'll have a positive reaction to our medication on the first visit that if you don't, it's free, guaranteed. In Portland, call 503-443-1000 now. If you want to perform for up to 90 minutes or longer, or if you suffer from PE, it doesn't matter what medications or health problems you have. If Viagra and Cialis have let you down, in Portland, call 503-443-1000 today and see why our patients now have happy, healthy, complete sex lives.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Geico is over 70 years old. Now, most of us don't go around bragging about how old we are, especially on the radio. But at Geico, they're proud of their age. It means they can deliver the expertise and reliability that only comes with years of experience. Over 70 and proud of it, that's Geico. How old am I? I'll tell you later, you know, when I'm off the radio.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You know, I always appreciate it when someone goes the extra mile. And that's why I love those folks who make Clear Eyes eye drops. They put an extra moisturizing ingredient in every Clear Eyes product in the entire line, even their redness formula. An extra moisturizer they never even told us about. See, they're humble, too. So if you want eye drops that do the job, and then some, get Clear Eyes. Use as directed.
I knew I had a problem.
Eating and eating.
I felt so alone.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people just like you. Start living the life you deserve. Find us on the web at OA.org.
So you love listening to the radio. At work, at the park, at the gym, at your kids' play. Well, all thanks to the iHeartRadio app on your iPhone. Download it for free at iHeartRadio.com. We think you'll heart it a lot.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Helping you win the water cooler war is Tom Hartman here on your radio support group for We the People. Our full Monty alert for the day. Let me tell you, this is bad advice if you're thinking of being a burglar.
Baby, take off your shoes.
Don't want to do that either.
I'll take your shoes. Take off your dress.
Yeah, don't want to do that either.
Yes, yes, yes. You can't leave your hat on.
Yeah, you might want to leave your hat not just on, but you might want to leave it on and attached to some very sensitive parts of your body. An 88-year-old woman here in the Portland area, this is in Troutdale, in her home, in her bathrobe, and a naked guy bursts into her house, attacks, you know, breaks into her house through the glass door, sliding glass door, and shoves her down onto the couch. She reaches around behind herself and, quote, grabs the man by the groin, giving him a good squeeze until he tore free and ran back out the way he came in. Yeah. She calls 911. The Gresham, the police track down the naked burglar, who is walking with a limp at this point, and discover that it is a fellow, 46 years old, by the name of Michael G. Dick. I kid you not. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, all kinds of stuff. You know, best and worst for the year. I realize that's just terribly cliched, but your thoughts. I agree with Media Matters. The worst misinformer of the year is Sean Hannity. But beyond that, there's a lot of interesting stories out there. Roland Burris has been appointed to the United States Senate in Illinois by Rod Blagojevich, the governor there. And frankly, in my opinion, Blagojevich is still the governor. He has the legal authority to appoint a senator. And this guy is not bad. In fact, he's lost four Democratic primaries. But he was the former attorney general. He is well respected. I'm a little concerned. He's 71 years old. It would be nice to have somebody in that seat who's younger. You know, think the way that the Bush administration thought about the Supreme Court. If you given how often people get reelected to the United States Senate, you know, that once you're in, it's pretty hard to dislodge you. In my humble opinion, it would be better to get somebody in their 40s or 50s. But nonetheless, Roland Burris is a good guy, and I think that Blagojevich has the legal authority to put him in, and that Harry Reid and the Democrats are going to have a heck of a time. And why don't they just say, be graceful and just say, okay, we'll take this guy. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Sydney in Seattle. Hey, Sydney, thanks for calling. What's up?
Good morning, Tom. Gosh, I'm really sorry that Mr. Salente couldn't stay around. I'm kind of a fan. I've read two of his books, especially yeah. ZZ and Honey Boy. I don't know if you've read that.
I haven't. I confess.
I'll try not to be a papagayo. That's a parrot, someone who doesn't think.
Ah, I see.
But I would rather actually respond to you. I was going to ask him about the trends. It seems to me that, and this is in relation to Gaza, mm-hmm. and Palestine and Israel, that there's an essential perspective which we seem to have lost sight of mostly in the media, and that's about this so-called, you know, the who violated the ceasefire.
Right.
Well, for 16 months now, there's been a blockade of food, and you've mentioned this, and medicine and fuel for hospitals. They've been shooting at fishermen. By the way, they just ran, and they won't allow aid to come in from the sea. Cynthia McKinney was on a boat that was just rammed on the internet.
I know we've been talking to her office. We're trying to get her on the show.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. I hope
she's
okay.
She's an old friend of the show. In fact, she was physically dragged off the floor of the United States House of Representatives for reading out loud an article that I wrote. So we Cynthia
that
was an article
back
you
wrote. I didn't know that.
Yeah, an article that I wrote in which I referred to Dick Cheney as a terrorist. And when she said that, the sergeant at arms said, "You are out of order, ma'am." And she kept reading, and they physically grabbed her and dragged her off the floor of the house.
Wow. So you're the troublemaker behind the troublemaker.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. It seems like, and by the way, I'm Irish and I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish on my mother's side. But I have to say, I'm an American. I am not an Israeli. And Israel's a monster. They could stop this anytime they want.
Well,
monster is
a strong word. I think that this is a very, very counterproductive overreaction, and they're killing people. I mean, let's just call it exactly what it is.
That's not new, Tom.
Yeah, no, I know. And on the other hand, it's not new that there are radicals and wackos among the Palestinians who are hell-bent on destroying any kind of a peace process and mm-hmm. who will never be satisfied until every Jew in Israel is dead or gone. And neither the hard right in Israel or the hard whatever you want to call it, the crazies, I call them the hard right among the Palestinians. Neither one of them are contributing productively towards any sort of a human settlement between human beings, a settlement of this issue. I mean,
it just seems to me that there's a tremendous lopsided imbalance. Those are acts of
war.
There
is in military.
There's never been a ceasefire by Israel those are acts of war. If that was happening to us, if Canada came down here and they occupied 80% of our country, and then they blockaded fuel and medicine. And
yeah, that's the flip side of the what would you do if Canada was throwing, you know, if Canadians were throwing missiles in your backyard, the answer that Obama gave. And that is the appropriate flip side of it. You said it well, Sydney. Sydney, we got to take a break, but thank you for the call. It is 27 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, 866-303-2270, tomhartman.com, airamerica.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Little man talks it up. Well, the mind keeps getting bigger.
34 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Interesting news. Iraq. Yes, that country, that government, Nouri al-Maliki, has essentially disavowed or condemned the Israeli action against the Gazans. And this, I find this very interesting. The whole dynamic here that we have created, the country that we are calling our key ally in the war on terror. This is as George Bush said, together we'll help Iraq become a strong democracy that protects the rights of its people and is a key ally in the war on terror. And here's, Matt Duss over at the Wonk Room, over at thinkprogress.org. He points out, just as they did during Israel's 2006 war against Hezbollah, Iraq's leaders are now showing where their true sympathies lie. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's Dawa Party issued a statement condemning the attacks and calling on Islamic countries to cut relations, that would be Egypt, with Israel, and end all secret and public talks with it. And, I suppose Jordan has some relations with Israel as well. I mean, you want to say, where is Palestine? To a large extent, it's in Jordan. There's about as many Palestinians as there are Jordanians in Jordan. Khalid Hussein of the Islamic Supreme Council of Iraq told Gulf News, quote, we have an obligation toward Palestine, and all Iraqi people are in solidarity with the people of Palestine, and we will support the people in Gaza. Iraqi resistance groups, this is quoting the guy who's the head of the Iraqi Supreme Council, the Islamic Supreme Council of Iraq. The Iraqi resistance groups have to retaliate against the Israeli aggression on Gaza by escalating their operations against the U.S. military in Iraq, since the U.S. position is in favor of this aggression, firstly, and secondly, because the United States and Israel are both enemies of the Arabs. Excuse me, that was Omar al-Kabuasi, an activist of the Sunni Muslim Clerics Association, saying this. These are quotes that are widely being distributed in the press in Iraq, calling on Iraqis to attack American soldiers because we are an ally with Israel, and their perception of Israel's behavior with regard to Gaza is that it is wrong, inappropriate, illegal, whatever, fill in the blank. Now, that's the guy who's the head of the Sunni Muslim Clerics Association. What about the Shias? Well, the Grand Ayatollah Sistani, who is the head of the Shias, arguably, in Iraq, has also condemned Israel for the Gaza strikes. So, Matt Duss over in the Wonk Room, he concludes, looking at the bright side, if one can call it that, as with opposition to the U.S. occupation, Gaza is an issue on which Iraqis have achieved rare political consensus. Yeah, George is not a divider, he's a uniter. Yes. Walter in Denver. Hey, Walter, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The thing that bothers me the most about the Israeli and the Palestinian conflict is the pretense of parity in our media, and you even seem to have glossed over it. I mean, Gaza is a de facto prison camp, really. I mean, and they're being blockaded. Their fuel, food, medical supplies is all being cut off.
Yes.
And it seems to me
and have
more
been
like,
for several years, in large part because I'd say not just Israel. I mean, we were in on this with a wink and a nod, and maybe even an overt tip of the hat, because we disagreed with the party that was elected by the people of Gaza.
Oh, well, right. After we insisted they elect someone, we didn't like who they elected, so we called it illegitimate.
Right.
But the thing is, it seems that the analogy I have and would use is it's more like a prisoner being handcuffed and beaten because, Gaza is not a sovereign country. They're, like I said, a de facto prison camp.
Mm-hmm. But let's be clear, Walter. First of all, this is not Israel's not the only party in this. You've got Egypt on the other end of Gaza blocking.
Well, and Israel has us.
And, yeah, but my point is it's not – this is not only two parties. There are a whole bunch of parties to this problem. There's also the quartet. There's the European Union. There's Russia. There's the United States, and there's the United Nations. I mean, there are all kinds of parties who have been brought into this conflict. Is the wrong word?
Well,
debate,
right. Trying to and I think that's trying to resolve the fact that Israel is was an occupying force, and essentially has evolved into this. Virtual prison camp.
Yeah, and this is to some extent and or to a large extent actually in Gaza in particular, and this is how what is frankly in my opinion what the two things that are needed in that region right now are number one for everybody for all you know for the original quartet U.S. Russia the U.N. and the E.U. plus all the other countries that are involved in this thing from Egypt which is a you know an active participant in this. And you know has treaty obligations and relationships with Israel and has one side of Gaza from those countries and the other Arab countries in the region I'd say Jordan is another big one from those countries participating to the world community participating we need to be number one us helping the moderate Arabs in the region attain power and you know encourage them to participate what Fatah is trying to do. Right, on the West Bank, and number two, somebody needs to intervene. I mean, we need an intervention. You know, this is like you know an abusive household kind of thing, or you know,
But I think we are so biased that authority
this administration is. Yes, this administration is. You know, has made their bias so clear over the last 8 years that there's no way that we could play an active or clean broker. But I'm very hopeful that the Obama administration can come in with a relatively clean slate and perhaps even resolve this thing.
Well, yeah.
I don't think either of these parties have the power to do it anymore. I think that they have gotten so locked in. They're the hardcore activists, the hardcore militants in both Israel and in the Arab community have so much power. They have their fingernails in so deep into this thing that somebody needs to come along and just break the parties apart and say, okay, we're going to stand in the middle here for a little bit. Everybody take a deep breath. Let's work this thing out, which is essentially what Jimmy Carter did. And it almost got there. And Reagan came into power and blew the thing up.
But still my point is that there is this pretense of parity, which is really gross mistaken concept.
Yeah, well, that's I agree with you, Walter, and that's something that we all need to be telling our media about. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Stacy in Los Angeles listening on K-Talk. Hey, Stacy.
Hey, Tom. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
I wish I had been able to speak with your guest, Ray, in the first hour, and I really just have a rhetorical question. How do you find a middle ground with people who deny your right to exist?
You don't. And that was the point that Ray made, and that's the point that I've been making for several days. You don't. You marginalize those people. The entire community is not asserting that. In fact, I would say a minority of the Muslim community or the Palestinian community is asserting that. You find the people
with you. Have you looked at the map of the official map of the government of Saudi Arabia? If you go to their website and look on the map, Israel doesn't even exist on the map. You know, Israel has won every war it's been involved in because the first time it loses, there's no more Israel.
No, I agree. I agree. And Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabists in Saudi Arabia is another one of those groups that we should not be empowering. And we are doing so by our addiction to oil, which is one of the reasons it's so urgent that we stop using oil for transportation in the United States and move to electricity and start building electric cars and things like that. But the bottom line is you don't start by trying to deal with and trying to interact with and trying to whatever, empower the crazies. You start out with the people who are sane. You start out with Mahmoud Abbas, you know, with the old PLO, with Fatah, and who is running a secular government and representing people with, you know, Palestinians who are saying, we're not doing this about Muslims versus Jews. We're not doing this about, you know, one state against another. We're going to try and reach a rapprochement. We're going to try and work things out. And you work with the people who are willing to work with you, and collectively you marginalize the crazies to the point where they get pushed out onto the fringe. And, yeah, they're never going to go away. We still have the Tim McVeighs of the world. I mean, we still have Christian crazies who are trying to blow up the United States and bring about a race war, which is what Tim McVeigh thought he was going to do. Yeah, but you know, you marginalize them to the point where they're no longer a major factor. And I think that that's a very straightforward way to do it, Stacey. We all have to acknowledge that there are crazies on all sides, and that there seems to be a lot of them on the Palestinian side right now, and many of them have what they consider to be, and probably are, not even probably, and are legitimate grievances. But the way that they're responding is not an appropriate, throwing missiles. Come on, and
exactly. And so, what would we be doing if somebody, if a neighboring country was lobbing 60 missiles a day into the United States area?
I agree. We would be reacting. But Stacey, the flip side of that is, what would we do if Mexico took possession of 80% of the United States?
I don't have the answers, and I don't profess to have the answers, and I'm sickened by what's going on there, but I'm just more distraught by all the callers who are calling up and condemning Israel and don't even seem to be able to see the other side of the story.
Yeah, I understand, Stacey, and I share your concern on both sides. We need, and thank you very much for the call. We need to work as a nation to help bring about a middle solution, a radical middle solution in the Middle East.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Tom Hartman here. Hey, guys, do you know the symptoms of an enlarged prostate? Like it or not, you probably will, because eventually it's going to happen to most of us as we get older. If you're urinating more frequently, especially if you're waking up two, maybe three times a night to go to the bathroom, that's the first sign. Second sign might be burning, pain, or even problems in the bedroom. This is not just an old man's concern. It happens to American men more often than in other countries and can occur as young as 30. So don't ignore the symptoms. Get checkups from your doctor and order your risk-free bottle of Beta Prostate to support healthy prostate functioning. Every man should take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate will help keep your prostate healthy, and it's a natural alternative. You don't need a prescription for it. Call now and order Beta Prostate risk-free. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803. Don't put this call off till tomorrow. Call today, 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Ed Schultz. Is this the man?
No, this is the man talking to the man. Ed Schultz, what's going on?
Noon to 3.
Barack Obama with us. I know you voted for the farm bill. Can you speak to the folks in the heartland on ag and energy?
I come from the heartland, and I come from an agricultural state. My record goes back 10 years.
The Ed Schultz Show.
What I'm most concerned about are family farmers and family ranchers.
Noon to 3.
We've got to make sure that they're getting help, not just big agribusiness.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Online at 620KPOJ.com.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
KPOJ and WorkSource Oregon are teaming up for the 2009 Career Fair, Wednesday, January 14th from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Lloyd Center Mall. This is a great opportunity to meet those hiring in the greater Portland area or to find the education you need to advance your career. Meet employers and educators from around the state all in one place, January 14th at Lloyd Center Mall. KPOJ invites you to join us at the Crystal Ballroom Tuesday, January 20th, as we celebrate the swearing-in of our 44th President of the United States and embark on the beginning of 4 years of change. A benefit for the Oregon Food Bank, admission is free with a suggested donation of cans of food. Entertainment and a silent auction with all proceeds going to the Oregon Food Bank are just a couple of fun things to expect. Keep listening to KPOJ for complete details on this 21 and over only event, including how to win tickets, auction items up for bid, and more.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Go to 620kpoj.com, keyword coupon, to save from local businesses like the UPS Store and West Hills Dental Center. Two UPS Store locations are offering free domestic ground shipping of one package 5 pounds or less. Certain restrictions apply. This coupon is only valid at specified UPS Store locations. Print the coupon for details. How about a new dentist or a second opinion? Print out a complimentary dental consultation from West Hills Dental Center. For these great deals and more, go to 620kpoj.com, keyword coupon, or look for the link in your KPOJ loyalty listener update.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, That does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne?
Sean and I are sitting here in the studio in Portland, Oregon, at Clear Channel, KPOJ, and with a couple of bottles of champagne that Tom Dwyer, one of our sponsors locally, brought by, Tom Dwyer Automotive, and debating whether we should open them. I don't know about drinking on the air. But anyway, strange stuff going on out there in the world.
But maybe I'm crazy.
This is our New Year's version of our crazy alert. Probably. This from The Edge. It's a column in the Oregonian, our local paper. They said, there's so many fabulous headlines from 2008, hard to pick a favorite. For starters, these are actual headlines that appeared in the paper this year. Police, crack found in man's buttocks. I think they meant the drug. And this one, police taser, naked man in cavity. Their winner is this gem, chicken manure catapult misfires. Their invention of the year, artificial removable nose hair. Yes, because as inventor Zheng Sheng Sun said, most people do not have enough nose hair. Scientific discovery of the year, Science Magazine. Physicists successfully stored and retrieved a nothing. That actually was a big story. Excuse of the year, in London, a building contractor who was caught in a compromising position with a vacuum cleaner. Yes, trying to have sex with the vacuum cleaner. When a security guard walked in on him at a building site, said he was, quote, vacuuming his underpants, end quote. And the disaster of the year, the giant inflatable dog poo caused chaos after it broke free from its moorings and flew away from an outdoor art exhibit in Bern, Switzerland, knocking down power lines and smashing windows. You see the insurance claim? Our house was destroyed when a 60-foot tall dog poo landed on the power lines. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Every now and then the 10-year-old in me comes out. 866-303-2270, David in Albuquerque. Hey, David, what's up?
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hey, David.
Okay, I apologize if you've heard this idea before on your show, and this is not about Israel-Palestine. Sean Hannity of Fox, Fair and Balanced, needs a liberal counterpart, a new and improved Alan Combs. On Air America, you're preaching to the choir.
He has asserted that he's going to do his show himself. He doesn't want another Alan Combs. He doesn't like having a second fiddle or a second banana.
Well, what about the possibility of making yourself a nuisance and seeing if Hannity and Hartman couldn't be a reality? This
yeah,
be
no, David, ain't going to happen. Thanks for the idea. I actually am on Fox News fairly regularly. Every couple of weeks or so, I'm on Fox News, usually on their morning show. Typically debating with Mike Gallagher or some other conservative on the issues of the day, but I have absolutely no interest in doing anything with Sean Hannity. Stuart in Seattle. Hey, Stuart, what's up?
Yeah, first I want to say that I'm an American Jew, and I used to think it was supposed to mean when we said never again, that was never again to anyone, not just never again to the Jews. But I see this slaughter in Gaza as showing that the policymakers in Israel want to, you know, commit horrendous crimes against people. And we have to say that either the Israeli policymakers are crazy or they want endless conflict. They want endless attacks. They've been doing the same thing over and over again for decades, saying that by sending in the F-14s and large bombs to attack, that they're going to stop these rocket attacks that are like little bows and arrows compared. Sure, they kill people, they injure people, but nothing compared to the devastation that the Israeli army with their modern weapons is able to do.
Let's keep in mind that the Israeli elections are going to be held in February, that there is a hard right in Israel, which, you know, that Netanyahu by and large represents and is running for election. And I think that this will probably help them considerably. And you know, there is a mindset that is represented within, and it's by no means is Israel monolithic, just like the Palestinians are not monolithic. There's not just one voice. And this is why it's so important, I think, for Americans to read like Haaretz, you know, haaretz.com, I'm pretty sure is their website.
Yeah.
You know, the oldest and kind of liberal newspaper in Israel, arguably the oldest newspaper in Israel. It was founded in 1918, as I recall, you know, before Israel was a state. And get that wide perspective of opinions, because there is a George Bush faction, basically, a George Bush Dick Cheney faction in Israel, which holds an enormous amount of power. And I agree.
It's the Ku Klux Klan.
Well,
call it the Ku Klux Klan.
No, I'm not going to call it that because they're motivated by hate. Any more than I think Don Rumsfeld was motivated by hate. I don't think that they,
Some
you know.
Somewhere.
I think, well, yeah, George Bush hated Saddam Hussein and wanted to punish him. He had a personal weirdness going on,
no,
but
I'm
I don't
talking,
think that Dick Cheney did. I think that there are people
about,
who are simply afraid, and they really think that they think that they can overcome their own personal fear or a national fear by having, you know, the biggest fist on the block and using it a lot, and that at some point that's going to cause people to cower. And frankly, over time, it's not the best strategy. I'm a big supporter.
It is the best strategy if you want endless conflict, if you want people divided and conquered, if you want to sell weapons both in Israel and around the world.
And that's the point. That has to be less than 1/100 of 1% of the population of both the U.S. and Israel.
And they control the policies incredibly compared to the rest of us.
And in the United States as well.
Yes.
You know, this is exactly what Dwight Eisenhower warned us about, the military-industrial complex in the United States lobbying for continuous war. Now we've got it. We've got a military-industrial complex. So does Israel. And I think that some sanity needs to come. And by the way, the Palestinians are developing their own little military-industrial complex and crazies around them. And all of these guys, not just the Palestinians, all across the Arab world, all of these guys, and ourselves too, we all need to take, you know, just shake our heads and say, hey, wait a minute. How about the fact that we're all humans here? Stuart, thank you for the call. And we're all humans here. We have a common humanity. We need to come together around that.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club. Providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. You know, sometimes you know what you know, and sometimes you know what you don't know, and sometimes, as the Fire Sign Theater likes to remind us, everything you know is
wrong. That you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync. You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Could it be that everything you know about cats and Zen is wrong? Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. I have lived with several Zen masters, all of them cats. Choosing to Be, Kat Tanzi's new book, Lessons in Living from a Feline Zen Master, choosingtobe.com, the website. Kat Tanzi, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Tom. I am delighted to be here.
Well, thank you, Kat. As speaking as somebody who has been sitting and sitting Zazen in large part since the late 1960s on a regular basis, and in organized practice as well as just by myself, I've actually found this book that I expected to be just a pastiche or funny as one of the better books on Zen practice. I mean, on sitting practice.
Wow.
Give me your pitch on this thing. This is great.
Wow, that is a tremendous compliment, and it says that I am achieving exactly what I wanted to do, which was to write a story that could be accessible and interesting for people that knew nothing and yet wouldn't insult people who knew a lot.
Well, it is a wonderful book on meditative practice and on our relationship with cats and just the whole thing. You open it with a very brief kind of introduction, I guess, and if you don't mind, I'd like to read that to our listeners.
Sure.
You say, for a myriad of reasons not really pertinent to this story, I descended from my executive office on the top floor of a sleek and stylish high-rise tower into the underworld of depression in 1993. I had been there before. I suppose you could say I was a frequent visitor, but I usually stopped at one of the upper floors. This time I took the express elevator straight to the basement, the suicide floor. And wouldn't you know, this particular elevator required a special key to come back up. This is the story of how I found the key. What a compelling introduction. The key for you was.
Well, yeah, it really... gosh, I'm just really moved because that poem actually came to me all of a piece when I was walking one day, as that's what I needed to do for the introduction. And it's the first time I've heard it read by someone else. So it's pretty cool.
It's very elegantly written.
Well, thank you. It just came. the key is so many things, but for me, a lot of it was the combination of having my wonderful cats and learning to meditate. You know, it just and a little bit of backstory on this is that actually this book has been in the making for about 15 years because I started it back in 93 when I was depressed. As a way, what came to me was the idea that, as I say, I was reading the Tibetan book on living and dying. I learned about this idea of Buddha mind, and I was looking for a teacher. But I was quite ill and not able to get out very much. And I had my cat. And somehow, just like that poem, the idea came to me that if I were to write a book about how dialoguing with my cat helped me learn to meditate, that would be a project that would keep me around, because I'm very goal-oriented. And that's really why I started the book. And completed parts of it, but, things take time.
Yeah, but one of the essential arc of the book, on page 68, you talk about how this revelation you had, this realization that you were causing your own suffering by hanging out of the past. There is this notion in many of the mindfulness disciplines, including mystical Christianity and Judaism and Islam, from Sufis to Meister Eckhart and the mystical Christian tradition to the Baal Shem Tov in Hasidic Judaism, there is this notion that the deep, dark, thick emotions, shame, guilt, depression, are usually rooted in people constantly looking to their past. And the high, thin, screaming, freaky emotions, the anxiety disorders, are usually rooted in people keeping their focus on a future which they have hallucinated and which is scaring the hell out of them. And the way to break out of both of those cycles, the stuck in the past depressive cycle or the stuck in a terrifying future anxiety cycle, the way to break out of either of those two cycles is to be present in the now. Can you speak to that, Kat Tansey?
Well, exactly. And, I've been doing a little reading of your books as well, Tom. So I understand now. When I first was invited to be on your show, I thought, well, it's a political show. But now that I understand a lot about you and your background, I agree with you absolutely that what happens is, and I think of it as being stuck, sort of not being able to be bilateral. You know, you're stuck more in the left brain in this obsessive repetition of all of these terrible thoughts and then this anxiety about the future. And so the idea is to, in at least the kind of meditation I practice, is to learn to let thoughts come through and observe them. And after a time, increasingly, you will be able to tolerate maybe harder thoughts, more difficult thoughts, anxieties, the emotions that they produce. You'll be able to tolerate them, and as you increase your tolerance to look at them rather than be in them, then they will be transformed.
Right.
And you can let them go, which is a lot of what you're talking about in, like, in your walking book, too.
Yes, in Walking Your Blues Away and also in The Prophet's Way. The P.D. Ouspensky, one of the first books along these lines about Gurdjieff that I, and your book is not about Gurdjieff, but Ouspensky I read when I was, I think, 17. I read The Fourth Way and then Tertiary Morganatum.
Right.
And in The Fourth Way, Ouspensky talks about how his teacher, Gurdjieff, taught him that he should create a space basically inside his own head where he could sit and watch the rest of his brain function. And every thought that came up, he should simply say to himself, oh, look at that, or oh, listen to that, or oh, isn't that interesting, or whatever. Basically, note it and let it go, rather than grab it and get stuck to it. And over time, Ouspensky describes the process of achieving something close to enlightenment, or what some people would call enlightenment, which is the point of absolute non-attachment to all those thoughts, and yet they're still going on. And where so many people get stuck, in particularly in meditative practice, in my experience, particularly in mantra meditation, where you're saying one word over and over again, or you're saying people who do rosaries and things like that over and over again, is that they are clinging to the mantra, they're clinging to the meditation, thinking this is the thing, when in fact the essence of most Zen and Zen-like practices is touch it and let it go, or just notice it and let it go.
Right, right, the non-clinging. Well, that's why I really wanted to deal with the hindrances in meditation because, I mean, clinging is a big one. You know, you either cling to some kind of device, or a lot of times what happens, and I talk about this in the book, is that as you practice for a while, you might actually have a good meditation. You might actually get some, you know, sparkling lights and some great feeling and decide that you are enlightened. And you create these expectations, and you're still clinging. I mean, it's always clinging.
Yeah, Ram Dass refers to that as the golden chain that binds you.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. Nice thing about having Pooh Bear de Gunakun as the Zen master is that from a cat's perspective, you know, he says to me at one point when I'm clinging to the idea of wanting to be who I'd been before I got sick. And he said, you know, that would be like me wanting to be a kitten. It just isn't, you know, you just don't do that.
Right, yeah, or the butterfly saying, you know, it's pretty good being a caterpillar. We're talking with Kat Tanzi, her book, Choosing to Be, Lessons in Living from a Feline Zen Master, choosingtobe.com, the website. And it's a great little book, you know, the story of Kat's life. And K-A-T, your name, the story of your cat, Pooh's life, and how these intersected and brought you to some very meaningful realization. And it's sprinkled with some just wonderful photos of cats, or are these all of your cat?
They're all of the two cats, of Pooh Bear, the Zen Master, and Katzenbear, the muse, the kitten.
Katzenbear, yeah. And some just absolutely great quotes under them. You know, use your life to wake up. Pema Chodron, the wisdom of no escape. It's just, this is a marvelous and enlightening. Sometimes just, here's another one, Jack Kornfeld, a cat looking at, I'm not sure what she's looking at. Sometimes just bringing an interested awareness to sleepiness itself will dispel it and bring clarity and understanding. Great book, Kat. Well done.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Tom, and it's lovely talking with you.
Thank you, and great having you here, and a great way to start the new year. Kat Tanzi, Choosing to Be, Lessons in Living from a Feline Zen Master. Thanks, Kat. It is 16 minutes past the hour. Back to your phone calls right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If you're tired of credit card debt with high rates and fees, if you're in over your head dealing with high monthly payments, there's powerful information that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with low monthly payments you can afford. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-1983. You don't have to declare bankruptcy. Credit Answers represents the highest standards in the industry. We've already helped thousands of people like you save millions of dollars. Just give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help you live better, debt-free. Call for this valuable free information at 1-800-600-1983. That's 1-800-600-1983. 1-800-600-1983.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
If he had gotten into politics to steal, he certainly picked the wrong time because we're broke.
Randy Rhodes.
There's nothing left to steal. You know, why are they asking, is he crazy? Just look at his hair. What's on the outside is pretty good indication of what he's thinking on the inside.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
He actually considered appointing himself to the Senate seat because he was afraid that he had sucked every corrupt dollar out of Illinois, so he wanted to go national.
3 to 6 on AM 620 KPOJ.
Every year, Sleep Country sells literally thousands of new mattresses from the best brands. And every year, mattress factories change their models, so Sleep Country has to clear out hundreds of last year's mattresses. Sleep Country's huge year-end clearance sale is on now. Save on selected Simmons, Sealy, Tempur-Pedic, and the Sleep Number bed. These are brand new mattresses. They're just last year's models. Get year-end clearance savings on adjustable beds, futons, even the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort. And don't miss closeout savings on floor samples, demonstrators, freight damage, scratched and scuffed, and customer returns. Last year's mattresses mean this year's savings. Sleep Country's huge year-end clearance sale is on now. Guaranteed comfort, best selection, lowest price.
Sleep Country USA.
Sleep Country is open on New Year's Day with great discounts on 2008 year mattress models. Start the new year right with the savings you want on the quality mattress you deserve. Visit Sleep Country on New Year's Day.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Most of us don't like medical exams. So if you're a healthy person who's put off getting term life insurance, now hear this. Because you can get up to $500,000 in term life insurance with no doctor visit and no medical exam within minutes just by answering a few health questions over the phone. For a free quote, call eFinancial at 1-800-619-9011. Many people put off getting life insurance because they don't like medical exams, but it's possible to answer a few simple health questions and receive term life from top-rated carriers in minutes and for less than you'd imagine. Everyone's situation is different, but you could qualify for $500,000 of term life with no medical exam, and it's affordable. You could even be covered today. If you're living without term life, do what's right for your family in minutes, right over the phone. Call now for your free quote. Call 1-800-619-9011. 1-800-619-9011.
I knew I had a problem.
Eating and eating.
I felt so alone.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people just like you. Start living the life you deserve. Find us on the web at OA.org.
So you love listening to the radio. At work, at the park, at the gym, at your kids' play. Well, all thanks to the iHeartRadio app on your iPhone. Download it for free at iHeartRadio.com. We think you'll heart it a lot.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, brought to you in part by you, our listeners, supporting our sponsors, supporting the radio stations we're on. Let them know that you're listening, and thank you so much. And a tip of the hat to the folks in the chat room. It's unusually full today, particularly for New Year's Day. A lot of folks in there, and some great comments, interesting discussions about the whole Zen thing, you know, going on. And in fact, there was one quote.
maybe it's already scrolled off, that I just thought was great. And just somebody just said it a minute or so ago about, yeah, here it is. I don't know how to pronounce the word. But anyhow, your screen name. Verity, yes, thoughts of energy, the influence. Oh, no, that wasn't it. Where was it? It was the thoughts are the compass of the soul, not the soul, or words to that effect. It's scrolled off now. Anyway, I thought it was a cool little statement. That said, okay, when the bee colonies around America started collapsing, that created an opening for smuggled honey. These folks are referred to as honey launderers, not money launderers. Sounds funny, but it's not. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer has revealed that Chinese firms are increasingly exploiting the demand for honey in the United States by smuggling in diluted and sometimes contaminated honey. And they're literally smuggling it in. So be very careful when you're buying honey, because you may not know what you're getting and you may not like what you're getting. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, Aldous in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Aldous, how you doing?
Hey, Tom. Hey, you know, the problem a lot of the automakers are saying they're having is that there are so many people who don't qualify for loans because the banks are really tight on their qualifications for them now.
Right.
And I was thinking that there's a really good solution to this. People can join credit unions, because my local credit union, for example, has told me repeatedly they're not part of this financial crisis. They don't have nearly as tough a criteria because they're not under the gun financially like these banks are. So you can join a credit union, become a member, get a car loan. If you get a new car, that helps out the auto industry.
Yeah, you're right, Aldous. And the reason for this, by the way, and it's interesting, the politics of all this, is that back in the 80s, when Reagan first came in and essentially deregulated the savings and loan industry so that people like Neil Bush could make millions of dollars with Silverado, and Mr. Keating, good friends with John McCain, could make his millions and basically rip us off. After the savings and loan industry melted down during the Reagan administration and the Bush administration, William Seidman came in and put the thing back together brilliantly, I might say. And the consequence of that is that for the 30 years since then, 20 some odd years since then, 28 years since it, however many years it's been, the savings and loan business has been a very healthy business, a very well-regulated business, and SNLs are very, very safe and good places to put your money. You're right. You're right. Well said, Aldous.
Well, exactly.
Thank you very much, and Happy New Year's to you.
Hey, you too, Tom.
Thank you, and to all of our friends in Madison, Wisconsin. Johnny in San Francisco. Hey, Johnny, what's up? Johnny, you are on the air.
Oh, yes. Listen, I wanted to make a point that our support, as seen around the world, is for the Israeli government. It's pretty much the same as our support was in the past for the apartheid regime in South Africa.
Well, no, it's not, Johnny, because when we were supporting apartheid, when we were supporting the apartheid government of South Africa, we were not supporting Nelson Mandela. In fact, John McCain voted against the resolution to praise Mandela and to ask South Africa to let him out of jail. Ronald Reagan would not do anything with regard to Mandela. On the other hand, in the Middle East, in Israel, we are supporting Fatah. We are helping to support Mahmoud Abbas, the moderate secular Palestinian voice. And I think that that's a good thing. And so I would say that, it's a very imperfect analogy.
Yeah, it's not a perfect analysis, no, but there is an element of it. There is an element. Here in America, Jewish people are thought of as white. The Arabs are thought of as non-white.
Not by the KKK.
Well,
not by Timothy McVeigh. Tim McVeigh, he'd read the Turner Diaries, which I actually recommend you read. It's a really scary piece of fiction. And Tim McVeigh actually believed that by blowing up the federal building, he could cause the federal government to overreact, crack down on average Americans, take away their guns, listen to their voicemail, listen to their telephone conversations, read their mail, and that this would cause the good white gun-owning Protestants to rise up and kill off
And in McVeigh's world, I mean, this is who he wanted them to kill off, not just African-Americans, not just Latinos, but Jews and Catholics as well. I mean,
I understand that, but these are the extremes. I mean, to the average American, you're talking about extremists, but to the average American, any average American, and if you talk to any person of color in America, they would be far more supportive and far more balanced in their opinion about what is happening in Gaza right now, or in Israel, or with the Palestinians. Palestinians are unequivocally being oppressed.
Yes, I agree with that, but I think it's impossible to generalize like that, Johnny. But yeah, the Palestinians are, well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, on the West Bank, yes, there's problems on the West Bank, particularly with the settlements. But again, where we have, or where Israel has, collaboratively with us, have supported and nurtured secular Muslim, or not Muslim, secular Arab governments and folks, they're doing well, and they're growing, and they're gaining a following, and they're not blowing themselves up, and they're not encouraging the crazies. And this is where I think, thank you for the call, Jai. This is where I think that Israel has shot themselves in the foot here, because it's going to just make things worse.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nazis in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
You tell them, Leonard. Who do you ask?
A Canadian.
Leonard Cohen, one of my favorite artists, and he is brilliant. And what an artist. Last night, Louise and I went out and did some Christmas shopping. We actually postponed Christmas until this weekend for our family. We'll have a best of show tomorrow. I'll be back doing the show live, by the way, on Friday. But we had to postpone Christmas because the city got shut down by a snowstorm, and we were out shoveling global warming off our dock and deck and everything else, and couldn't get out for an entire week. As you probably recall by doing my show from home. And I was astounded by the number of people who were apparently doing the same. We were down at Powell's and the bookstore here in town, and it was slammed. I mean, it was just, and people were obviously doing Christmas shopping. I think the whole city decided to celebrate Christmas this weekend, or celebrate whatever Hanukkah, whatever the holidays may be, because it all got shut down by this week-long snowstorm. But it's anyhow, interesting time. The quote, here it is, and a tip of the hat to Sue. Thanks for sharing it with me, Sue Nethercutt, in our chat room. The quote that I was trying to share with you is, again, from Camp. And Verity, yes, the thoughts have energy. They influence. I am the soul. I am not the thoughts. Thoughts are a sacred compass of the soul. What a cool sentiment. I really like that. Uh-oh.
What happens when you're riding a Zamboni drunk and the police come to get you? Do they charge you with driving under the influence? No, it turns out that at least in Cumberland County in Tennessee, Portland, South Portland? I guess so. That there is no offense of driving while intoxicated, so they gave this guy, 22-year-old man attempting to operate the Zamboni in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning. Police and firefighters alerted by an alarm that somebody was inside the arena driving the Zamboni while drunk. They charged him with operating under the influence, along with burglary, criminal mischief, and violation of bail conditions. I think there's more to that story than you think. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. We are live on New Year's Eve here on the Tom Hartman Program. And Jeff in Denver. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Well, it's appropriate you just played Leonard Cohen because he's also a Zen Buddhist.
You're right. I had forgotten. Yeah. You're right.
Thank you very much for talking about presenting the simplicity of the meditation process and such. I mean, when you talk about Gurdjieff, basically the entire Gurdjieff practice is only three different elements, very simple things. Ramana Maharshi, his whole teaching was one sentence.
Who am I? Yeah.
Yes, and what it brings up, one of my favorite quotes is, it's not simpler than you think, it's simpler than you can think.
Hmm. That's so elegant.
Yes, and years ago, one of my teachers said, this is so ordinary. And each year you think, okay, this is ordinary. And then a year later you say, man, it's even more ordinary than I realized.
Yeah, original mind.
And it becomes so beautifully simple that it's, and I can't imagine what it's going to be, you know, what I think is ordinary this year, how ordinary it's going to be next year.
Who was it who wrote Beginner's Mind? Was that, it wasn't Ozel Tenzing?
Suzuki, wasn't it?
Yeah, Suzuki, Roshi Suzuki.
Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind.
Yes, yeah. That was, boy, yes, you're absolutely right. It is,
Well, even in the Bible, if you notice in Genesis, it says God said, let there be light. It wasn't an action. It was an allowance.
Oh, my. Zen in Genesis. That's incredible, Jeff.
Yeah, and if you look at this, you'll see the whole thing of it's, well, you know, the thing with a problem is we're trying to understand this with thought, which is exactly the mechanism we transcend.
Right.
And it's like one day this one friend said, well, I don't know how not to do. We were sitting at a house. I said, well, how are you not driving your car right now? Are you trying not to drive your car?
Exactly.
And it's just the thing. We just don't know how to. We're human doings right now rather than human beings.
Yes. And you find this, I mean, right across the board in so many different places, so many different religions. Meister Eckhart, one of my favorite quotes from him is, he said, the 15th century German mystic, or maybe 16th century, he said, if the only prayer you ever say is thank you, that is sufficient. And it's like, you know, touch it, let it go, and just honor, you know, just be here with honoring it. Rabbi Isaac Luria, his two books, The Ten Luminous Emanations, much of the mystical core of Hasidism, I guess is the word.
Mm-hmm.
Much the same notion of just being here with the mystery, being comfortable with the mystery, being alive with it all.
Self-observation, then once you see, you don't identify, because once you see what things are, you say, oh, that's not me.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you become verb.
That's Ramana Maharshi's thing.
Yeah, you become a verb rather than a noun.
Yeah, yeah. Very well said, Jeff.
It's so remarkably simple, but we're just all still trying to do it.
Yep.
And the beauty, of course, is with like Buddhism, where they speak of nothing, it's no thing, then it's pure potential. One can move in any direction because one is not identified with this thing, you know, called Jeff or Tom or whatever. And then there's just, yeah, pure potential. Everything comes to one when one gives up the thing.
And to bring this back to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, I remember in the winter of 1999, in fact, a movie has been made of this called Dalai Lama Renaissance. DalaiLamaRenaissance.com is the website for it. The movie just came out. It's narrated by Harrison Ford. And I was among a group of 20-some-odd people who were invited to sit for a week with the Dalai Lama and not just meditate with him, but also to discuss with him how to create a world that works. And several people in the group had been very involved in the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa, back in the day. And we were all outraged by the Tibetans, who literally, this was in Dharamsala up in the Himalayas in northern India, northeastern India, and I don't know if it was literally every day, but it seemed like every day, two or three or five or six people would show up having climbed the mountain, you know, having crossed the mountains from Tibet, having fled Tibet, and they'd come with these most god-awful stories, you know, of their families being murdered, their wives or children being raped, the people being hunted down. I mean, and in most cases, they left Tibet as 10 or 20 people, and they showed up in Dharamsala as five or six people because some died from frostbite, some were eaten by bears or lions, many were killed by the Chinese military. And so, we all being, not all of us were Americans, but we all being Western, you know, we're going to do something about this. And so we pitched to the Dalai Lama that we were going to put together, you know, collectively in the room, we probably had, you know, 100 million people who read our books or had seen our movies that we were in or whatever. And we said, we will, you know, we have enough of a platform and an audience. We will propose a boycott, an international boycott of Chinese goods until the Chinese stop murdering Tibetans. Because they had, at that point, they had murdered over 1 million people in Tibet. And there's only 6 million Tibetans to begin with. And you know, the cultural genocide is ongoing in Tibet. And the Dalai Lama pointed to a stele out in front of the Norbert Lingse Institute, there in Dharamsala, where he teaches, or where he is. And on one side is in Tibetan, and the other side is in Chinese. Or there's four sides. It goes, you know, Tibetan Chinese. And he said, that is, I'm doing this from memory, so I may have my years wrong, but he said that is a transcript of an agreement that was signed in the 900s. I mean, literally 1,000 years ago, between China and Tibet, in which the daughter of the Tibetan emperor was marrying the emperor of China, or something like that. And he said, to this day, the Tibetans say that it's a statement of mutual friendship and reciprocity, and the Chinese say that it is Tibet making itself voluntarily a state of China. And, you know, he said, for 1,000 years we've been fighting about this, and it's not going to resolve itself next week. And then he said, you know, and if we were successful in this boycott, he said it could wreak economic destruction on China. He said, would that cause particularly people from the rural areas in China to possibly go hungry or maybe even starve? And one of the guys who'd been very active in the South African resistance movement stood up and he said, Your Holiness, it absolutely would, and it did in South Africa. There were people who starved as a result, literally thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands of people who starved or died otherwise as a consequence of the Western boycott of South African goods and manufacturers. He said, that's the price you have to pay for freedom. And the Dalai Lama sat with that for a good long, you know, 2-3 minutes. And then he said, if words to the effect of, I think this is pretty close to verbatim, he said, if the actions we take here in this room cause even one child to die, it's too high a price to pay.
Yeah.
And what he was saying was, there's no them and there's no us. It's all us.
And which brings up, to me, one of the greatest gifts I've been given in the past 2 years, which I think would apply very much to the situation we have right now. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, there's always blessed are the meek, you know, they shall inherit the earth. What always caused a big question, what is the meek? And I was taught that meek is those who have lost the ability to react in anger.
Wow. Or set aside the ability to react in anger.
Yes, they've lost the ability to react in anger.
What about intentionally setting aside the reaction of anger and just becoming
the meek? We can always act in a way that we haven't necessarily attained yet.
There you go.
You know, you act that, you dance, you do it before you're actually there, then eventually that behavior will become part of one.
Yeah, it's the bookend to that, I would say, in the New Testament is, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's a dimension of it. Jeff, thanks a lot for the metaphysical conversation. It's not often we have an opportunity to have them.
I greatly appreciate it. Thanks.
Great, and Happy New Year to you and yours. Great to hear from you. We've got a bunch of other calls here. We'll pick you up on the other side of the break. 45 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman with you on Air America Radio.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else, it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Throughout history, we have looked to the stars for inspiration and hope. In these extraordinary times, you can give the gift of inspiration and hope. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after anyone you wish to inspire and send them a beautiful personalized gift. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com and give the gift of hope.
taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country.
That has now changed.
But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party, and it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KBOJ.
Back to programming in a minute, but first, listen to this. Since the New York Mint is releasing to the public classic U.S. gold coins, there's a number you can call for free historical information and a free DVD. But first, it says that during the Great Depression, people were greedy for gold coins because no one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. The government finally took them out of circulation, and a government meltdown was ordered. That's why most of us have never even seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a stash was discovered in Europe. Gleaming U.S. gold coins minted between 1866 and 1933, all uncirculated. It says the New York Mint is releasing them to the public on a first-come, first-served basis when you call, here it is, 1-800-500-8257. Wouldn't that be amazing to hold U.S. history? Okay, if you want that free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-500-8257. 1-800-500-8257.
Did you know that most credit counselors are working for the credit card companies? It's true. They're practically collection agencies themselves. Don't turn over your financial future to them, because I've got a system that can eliminate your debt once and for all. To prove it, I'll send you a powerful free tape today.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
Don't hand over your future to credit counselors. Call now, and I'll rush you my free tape today. Call 1-800-600-9841 for your free tape. Call 1-800-600-9841. 1-800-600-9841.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for a progressive gardener? How about a copy of the gorgeous and informative new Encyclopedia of Northwest Native Plants for Gardens and Landscapes by Robson, Richter, and Filbert? You can buy it wherever fine books are sold, but if you buy it from me, Callie Robson, owner of Nothing But Northwest Natives Nursery in Woodland, Washington, I'll sign it for you. For information, call 360-225-6440 or visit nothingbutnwnatives.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Remembered with fondness. And to me, it's a song about remembering people who've meant something to you in your life, a mentor, a teacher, a friend from your childhood. Should old acquaintance be forgot and
I could listen to Barbara Streisand for a week. She has the most beautiful voice. Why is it that the people who are the most talented also have the best politics? I have so much respect for Barbara Streisand. I love her work and I love her politics. 866-303-2270, New Year's Eve today, and hope you're having a wonderful one. And Dorothy in Raymond, Washington, listening on Talk 1090. Dorothy, thank you for sitting on hold so long. What's up?
Well, thank you very much for having me on. If the new year would bring a better realization to the people in America that the corporate media is not only spinning but censoring a lot of information that we need, and would start looking for more independent media to find out what's really going on. And the best one I have found, is, of course, is Amy Goodman at Democracy Now.
She's very good.
Her program yesterday and today were absolutely vital, I think. If you don't have a link or free speech, you could go to the computer and log on.
It's democracynow.org.
Democracynow.org.
Yeah. Yeah, Amy, in fact, Amy was on our show when we were doing our show live from Minneapolis, right after she and two of her producers got arrested and roughed up by the police.
Yes, I was observing that.
Yeah,
and I was, I called the police there in St. Paul, and sure enough, she was there, but they hadn't booked her yet, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, it's Amy does a great job, and she's doing news, not commentary. I'm doing commentary, not news. There's a qualitative difference here between talk radio and what Amy is doing. But she is, in my opinion, one of the best news. She is filling the shoes that Walter Cronkite left empty and have been empty since he left, frankly, in my opinion. And she does a great job, Amy Goodman does. I'm pleased to know her and honored to know her and her brother who lives in Vermont. They wrote a great book together, the name of which is escaping me at the moment. And Dorothy, I'm sorry, say that again, Stephanie. Standing Up to the Madness, I believe that's it. And Dorothy, thank you very much for bringing that up. I appreciate the call, and I hope you have a wonderful and happy New Year. Weldon in Minneapolis. Hey, Weldon, what's on your mind today?
Hi, yeah, Amy Goodman is the national treasure, as are you, Tom.
Thank you.
Man, I don't want to be the guy who is like the last one because I'm so angry. I just want to wish you a happy New Year, but I got something to say.
Okay. Well, happy New Year now. Let's get on with it.
All right. Well, I just really I'm having a hard time containing my anger because this whole Gaza thing, and it just reminds me of the Polish ghettos when the Nazis rounded the Jews up and built walls. And those that survived disease and hunger and everything else, the ones that were the strongest, were rounded up and then sent to Auschwitz.
Yeah, I think that's a lousy analogy, Weldon.
I don't want to see another Kristallnacht happen in this 100
years. Neither do I, and I don't think it's going to happen. And I think that that's a very poor analogy or metaphor or whatever the simile or whatever the word is. The occupation is being handled very poorly. Yes, the Israelis and the United States and the quartet, us, Russia, the UN and the EU, other countries of the world should have been working more aggressively to nurture more moderate elements within Hamas, if that's possible. And I think it is possible. I think that the experience of the PLO and Fatah proves that it's possible. And there's a lot that we can say about that. But I think that when we start drawing comparisons between this mind-bogglingly heinous crime, which led to the death of 5-6 million people immediately and 20 million people over a period of time, you're walking on really dangerous and really thin ice. I frankly would not go there. But Weldon, I get your upset, and I think much of the world shares that people. People are being harmed, and frankly, on both sides. But not to suggest that there is a military equivalence, there is not. But there's terrible harm going on. Well, I got to move along. We get a few more voices in here in the 1 minute we have left before the show is out for the year. Kevin in Anacortes, Washington. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
And all your listeners.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment on the woman who was. Who spoke a little while ago about Israel, and I'm appreciative of the fact that as a Buddhist that you had a few people talking about Zen between then and now, so it kind of mellowed me a little bit.
Cool.
I just want to say that she was concerned that all she was hearing was one side, the Palestinian side, and it seemed to be that she wasn't hearing anything else. And I just wanted to say that my take on it is that all most Americans have heard for the last several generations is the Israeli side, and that's primarily because of our strong commitment to Israel and our inability to understand
the Palestinian culture, society, and the way of life.
Kevin, I'm sorry we're out of time. We're just literally out of time, but I appreciate the call. And there is, you know, some truth in what you're saying. And the great thing about the Internet is that it is opening all of this up, and people can understand all dimensions. Tomorrow's going to be a best-of show. On Friday, we'll be back live with Senator Bernie Sanders. Of course, in our first hour, our second hour, Lamar Waldron and I are going to be talking about our new book, Legacy of Secrecy, The Long Shadow of the JFK Assassination. Don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. Have a happy new year. Have a wonderful time. Get out there. Get active. We'll see you. See you on Friday.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.